Ray Brown's Talking Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. birdwatchersgeneralstore.com.
And proudly sponsored by Ocean State Bird Club, a Rhode Island-based club of passionate birders like you. Become a member and check out the fall edition of our newsletter. We've tripled the number of writers, and the issue is chock full of good reading. Find us on Facebook and at oceanstatebirdclub.org.
Good morning and welcome to our latest show. And we have a big number here. It's show number 800. And we're celebrating by giving away some cool stuff to Talkin' Birds listeners as we announce the 2020 edition of our Make Your Own Swag contest. Here's how it works. You request one of our little Talkin' Birds iron-on patches, and we send you one. You attach the patch to, for example, a hat, jacket, or maybe a backpack, thereby creating your own swag instead of buying a hat or jacket, etc. Then you take a picture of yourself with the patch attached and send that picture to us here at Talkin' Birds. That's it. We'll pick favorite photos for 5 beautiful weekly prizes, and then we'll do a random drawing from among all entries received and award a grand prize. And it is pretty grand. It's a pair of Vortex Razor UHD binoculars, top of the line, with a retail price of about $1,500. That's our grand prize. Everybody who enters is eligible to win that prize, by the way. For a chance to win, just send an email to ray@talkinbirds.com. That's ray@talkinbirds.com, and ask for a patch. We'll send you one along with complete details about the contest. The address again, ray@talkinbirds.com. Request your patch today for a chance to win one of our great weekly prizes, and maybe the grand prize, Vortex Razor UHD binoculars. Meanwhile, out in the place where
little cable cars climb halfway to the stars.
That, of course, would be the great city of San Francisco, from where comes a tiny bright spot in the age of the coronavirus pandemic, because a new study shows that birds are singing more softly as the streets of San Francisco have grown more quiet. According to researchers, white-crowned sparrows' breeding territories had grown over the years to become almost 3 times as loud as rural territories, but now urban noise levels are dramatically lower, in fact, consistent with those from the mid-50s. It's good news, at least for now, because the birds are producing higher performance songs at lower amplitudes, while communication distance has nearly doubled, improving birds' fitness and mating potential. We need all the good news we can get these days, and there's a little bit of it. And this might be good news, too. It looks as though this could be a big year for evening grosbeaks, white-winged crossbills, red-breasted nuthatches, pine siskins, and other finches coming down into southern Canada and the lower 48 this fall and winter. We'll talk more and find out more with our man Mike O'Connor this morning about the new winter finch forecast. We're happy to report that the latest online issue of one of our favorite birding magazines has just been published, with the print version on the way. It's the Bird Observer, based in New England, but has lots of stuff to interest birders and nature lovers everywhere. In this new issue, for example, there's a fascinating piece about the migration superstar black pole warbler. There's a review of David Sibley's new book, What It's Like to Be a Bird. There's the always challenging At a Glance feature, kind of a visual version of our mystery bird contest. And there's even a piece about group bathing by shorebirds, gulls, and terns. Check it out at birdobserver.org. That's birdobserver.org. And now, here's a bird from up north. It's our mystery bird. This is a preview of our mystery bird contest coming along in just a little bit. Our bird is being revisited today, by the way, in honor of our guest, Sean Carey, whose fabulous photo of this bird has added a really nice touch to the wall of our Talkin' Birds World Headquarters. This bird breeds way up in the northern U.S., Canada, and Alaska. It's the tallest member of its family, although it's far from being the heaviest, since it relies on its dense feathering for much of its size. This raptor's color in both male and female is silver gray with white, brown, and gray streaking. And it shows two pale X-shaped arcs between its yellow eyes. The hard-to-see bill is yellow, and its neck features a white bow tie. Our bird feeds on small mammals, especially rodents, by plunging through snow cover to capture its prey, which it can hear moving under the snow. Some clues there about our mystery bird and the contest coming up in just a little bit, and we'll be giving away a beautiful feeder from Droll Yankees. It's the Buff 16 Bottoms Up 16-inch finch feeder, just in time to welcome those finches coming from up north. A not hospitable feeder for house sparrows and starlings, but finches and chickadees, woodpeckers, nuthatches all love that that feeder. So there you have it, the mystery bird contest coming up in just a little bit. Meanwhile, our conservation salute of the week goes to Dallas, Texas Mayor Eric Johnson for his efforts to help bird migration and conserve energy by declaring all nights through October 10th as Lights Out Nights in the city of Dallas. His proclamation urges residents and businesses to turn out non-essential lights at night during the critical migratory period, as has been done in several other U.S. and Canadian cities. In his own words, the spectacular downtown Dallas skyline has been noticeably darker in recent nights as part of the Lights Out effort in our city. I'm strongly encouraging residents and business owners to join in this important initiative by turning off their non-essential lights by 11 p.m. and keeping them off until 6 a.m. Doing so will play a big part in helping to keep our wildlife safe and to conserve energy. Way to go, Mr. Mayor. And so our conservation salute goes to Dallas, Texas Mayor Eric Johnson. And now another salute. It goes to our, here it is, our salute. There it is, yeah. To two more great Talking Birds listeners who have become Talking Birds ambassadors, helping us get the word out about our show and about birds and conservation. Thank you to a recent Mystery Bird Contest winner who signed up to become an ambassador, Kyle Jones from Houston, Texas. Thank you so much, Kyle. And thank you to Tama W. from San Marcos, California. She says, hi, I started a Facebook page in April to celebrate all things related to wild birds. I'm also writing a book about birds. I want to be able to share with your followers, I prefer to call them members of your show, and time to time highlight certain topics you discuss. That's pretty cool. Thank you, Tama, for becoming a Talking Birds ambassador. And Talking Birds listeners, we hope you'll join Tama and Kyle and now more than 500 other listeners who've become Talking Birds ambassadors. Just go to talkingbirds.com, look for the Get Involved tab at the top of the page there, and click on that and just kind of follow the bouncing ball. Still to come on our show today, we'll talk with expert videographer and hawk watcher Sean Carey about his cool new birding videos and more. And we'll have that Let's Ask Mike segment about winter finches. And up next, the bird we meant to feature last week. Sorry about that. A species whose members are pretty much all heading south is today's featured feathered friend, presented by Birdwatching Magazine. For more than a quarter century, Birdwatching has been North America's premier magazine about wild birds and birding.
Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now?
We don't know if birds ask themselves this question when migration time for their species comes along. But we do know that when it comes to the big hawks, known as Buteos, there's one that doesn't hesitate. It's the broad-winged hawk, the smallest member of the Buteo family, which includes birds like the red-tailed and red-shouldered and rough-legged and Harris's hawks, for example. The crow-sized broad-winged hawk has mottled dark brown upperparts and brown-barred white underparts. It's ID'd in flight by the broad tail bands, most noticeable in adults, and the dark color on the tips and trailing edges of its wings. When perched, its plumage is quite similar to that of a Cooper's hawk. While other Buteo species are year-round residents or short-distance migrants, the broad-winged hawk is entirely migratory, leaving the breeding grounds ahead of most other raptors, maybe triggered by the scarcity of amphibian prey, and forming big flocks known as kettles that often number in the tens of thousands, departing from wide areas of North America on their way to Central America. As they travel through narrow parts of southern Mexico, their numbers concentrate, leading people to describe their flight over places like Veracruz, Mexico, as a river of raptors. The Cornell Lab's John Fitzpatrick once described watching an estimated 193,000 birds fly over Veracruz in one day, and 75% of them were broad-winged hawks. And here's a little broad-winged hawk vocalization. It's the no-hesitating, long-distance migrating Buteo platypterus, the broad-winged hawk. Today's Talkin' Birds featured Feathered Friend. Welcome again to our show number 800. Please visit our website if you get a chance. You might find some kind of cool stuff there. TalkinBirds.com is the address. And Sean Carey is a bird and wildlife photographer and videographer and producer of natural history documentaries through his company Migration Productions. He's also taught photography workshops here in Massachusetts for Mass Audubon for about 20 years, and he joins us on the phone to talk about some of his work right now. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Ray.
Well, Sean, as we were talking off the air the other day, we were saying that in normal times, you'd probably be reporting to us from the top of Hawk Mountain in Pennsylvania this morning.
Yeah, in the past, I've been at the North Lookout in October, some weekend in October, and giving you a live report, as it were, from Hawk Mountain, the famed Hawk Mountain.
Mm-hmm. I guess we're kind of at the tail end of the broad-winged hawk migration, am I right? But others are kind of coming to the fore now.
Yeah, the broad-wings have pretty much passed through Massachusetts and the Northeast here and made their way to Central and South America. But yeah, lots of other raptors on the move. You know, you've got the accipiters and buteos going to be coming. And of course, as we get closer to the end of October, you get some of these golden eagles down in Pennsylvania will be moving through Hawk Mountain as well.
Ooh, okay. So yeah, that's a great spot, as we know, a famous spot, Hawk Mountain. What about some other places around the country that are great spots for hawk watching?
So here in Massachusetts, you've got Wachusett Mountain out in Princeton, Mass., which is a very good hawk watch site. You've got Mount Wahtatyck just to the north of that, and then Pack Monadnock just over the border of New Hampshire. So that's a few spots here in New England. And then as you head down the coast, the northeast here, you've got Lighthouse Point in Connecticut, which is a coastal site. And then, of course, down into New Jersey, the famed Cape May mm-hmm. hawk watch site, the platform there, mm-hmm. Which is a spectacular place to go hawk watching in the fall. And then again, of course, like you said, Hawk Mountain, which is really the mecca, you know, of hawk watching. Mm-hmm. Of all the places that I like to hawk watch, mm-hmm. that really is my favorite place to spend time in the fall when I can get down there. So I'm going to have to wait until 2021 to get back there, I think, unfortunately, but I'm looking forward to being there.
What about places out west, southwest, and so on?
Well, there certainly are places out there. I'm not as familiar with a lot of those places mm-hmm. In the west, but, you know, in San Francisco, there's a Golden Gate, I think it's Park or State Park or something mm-hmm. like that. That's a spot that I know that they do some hawk watching out there as well. But yeah, if you go to the HMANA website, Hawk Migration Association of North America, they've got lots of good information on there on hawk watching throughout the United States, and they collect the data from all the hawk watch sites that report. Mm-hmm. And that data is collected every year, and it's a great resource for folks to see when the peaks for each species and each time of the year in the fall and so forth. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's just it's a great resource and a great organization too for mm-hmm. Helping with raptor conservation and education.
Let's switch over to your videos, Sean. You have some really amazing ones, including your three-part video presentation called A Wing and a Care, in which you salute three amazing birders who are real bird conservationists. Tell us about those, if you would.
Yeah, so we did this documentary a few years back, Wing and a Care, as you just mentioned, and we featured three individuals and the specific bird species that they've been working to protect. We did locally here Norman Smith in his Snowy Owl Project. So we posted that video on our YouTube channel. You can look that up for migrationproductions.com. Mm-hmm. The second person we did was Dr. Stephen Kress in Project Puffin, which he's been doing up at Eastern Egg Rock in Maine for several decades now. So that's really just an amazing story of the bringing back the Atlantic Puffin to that part of the coast of Maine. Mm-hmm. And then finally, keeping here in New England and with the raptor theme, we did Tom Sayers in Connecticut and his Northeast Kestrel Box program. And that's the one that's featured on the homepage of the YouTube channel right now. So folks can certainly go on there and see and hear the story of Tom and how he's helped with this Kestrel Box program. And, you know, he's fledging a lot of kestrels each year. This last year, mm-hmm. I think he fledged about 170 birds. He's wow. fledged, I think, over 1,000 birds. Well over 1,000 birds in the 10 years he's been doing this. So he's really doing some incredible work helping the American kestrel, which has been in steep decline for over a decade now. So it's some real good work on Tom's part.
Wow. Thank you, Tom. And Sean, we can see some of your newest stuff in a YouTube series, Exploring the Natural World. And I think I have this right, one that's coming out very shortly about Betty Anderson, an amazing woman who was a founder or the founder of what was then the Manomet Bird Observatory, a really great science-based conservation organization.
Yeah, that's going to be the next video that we're going to post. Many years ago, well, I said many years ago, but certainly more than several years ago now, friend of yours and mine, Wayne Peterson, mm-hmm. He and I went to Betty's home in Middleborough, Massachusetts, and sat down with Betty and did an interview with her. And so I've taken that video interview and edited it up and kind of done a few other things and have an introduction for Betty. And like you said, she's one of the founders of Manomet. Really a fascinating individual. Betty was really a wonderful person and a real trailblazer and pioneer for women, you know, in birding. You know, she was the first president of the Nuttall Ornithological Club, and just an amazing individual and very knowledgeable, obviously, about the natural world and birds specifically. And so I'm really thrilled to be able to put that video up of Betty Anderson and help introduce her to people that aren't aware of Betty and what she was like and some of the things that she did in her incredible life.
Okay, the YouTube channel, so look for Migration Productions, probably a good way to do it, right, Sean, through the search
box? Absolutely, yep.
Right.
Yep, Migration Productions, or you can even Google my name, Sean Carey, and that's Sean, S-H-A-W-N-C-A-R-E-Y. Google either one or go to YouTube and type that in and you'll get to migrationproductions.com and check out lots of our videos and more videos in exploring the natural world.
All right. And I might mention, too, anybody looking for spectacular bird photographs will find a mind-boggling variety at your website, migrationproductions.com. Sean Carey is a bird and wildlife photographer and videographer and producer of those amazing natural history documentaries. That website, again, is migrationproductions.com. And look for those videos on YouTube. Sean, thanks for being with us. Good luck with those new videos, and we'll be watching.
Thanks, Ray. Take care.
Coming up next here on Talkin' Birds, it's our Mystery Bird Contest in just 1 minute.
Hi, I'm Talkin' Birds Senior Producer Debbie Bleacher. We bring you Talkin' Birds every week because we care about birds and the environment. We know you care, too, so we try to keep you informed about small things like hummingbird eggs, big things like climate change, and everything in between. But here's what's troubling. How come 10.1 million environmentalists who were registered to vote skipped the 2016 election? Let's do better this time. We pledge to vote on November 3rd. Will you join us? For more information and to register to vote, go to environmentalvoter.org. That's environmentalvoter.org.
There's a crisis facing us today that reaches far beyond borders or boundaries. It's our planet, and it's in trouble. Scientists estimate that climate change will increasingly alter our planet. If you're ready to make a difference that lasts, to help protect nature and preserve life, visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org today.
Our mystery bird speaking for itself there. Our mystery bird. This is our Mystery Bird Contest, and we invite you to call in and tell us what this bird is or take your guess and win a beautiful feeder from Droll Yankees in the process. Our bird breeds way up in the northern U.S., Canada, and Alaska. It's the tallest member of its group, although far from being the heaviest, since its size relies largely on dense feathering. This raptor's color in both male and female is silver-gray with white, brown, and gray streaking. It shows two pale X-shaped arcs between its yellow eyes. The hard-to-see bill is yellow, and its neck features a white bow tie effect. Very tasteful. Our bird feeds on small mammals, especially rodents, by plunging through snow cover to capture its prey, which it can hear moving under the snow. Some clues there, the sound, and that beautiful prize from Droll Yankees, makers of the world's best bird feeders. And by the way, that big bottoms-up 16-inch finch feeder comes with the Droll Yankees lifetime warranty against squirrel damage. 781-837-4900 is the number. Meanwhile, speaking of finches, we'll talk about the winter finch forecast with Mike O'Connor. It's Let's Ask Mike Live in just 1 minute.
Talkin' Birds. We're for the birds. And we want to say thanks to another Talkin' Birds ambassador who's helping to spread the word about our show and about birds in conservation.
Hi, my name is Brandon Hoyt, and I'm calling from Lakeland, Florida. The thing that I like most about being a Talkin' Birds ambassador is that you get a chance to share your hobby with other people, and it really celebrates the joy of watching birds. Sometimes it helps to know that there's people way off in the far-flung regions of the country, even as far away as Massachusetts or Alaska, Hawaii, I've heard people call in from, that they all enjoy watching birds and talking birds, too.
Talkin' Birds listeners, we hope you'll join our ambassadors family. Just visit our website, talkinbirds.com. Click on Get Involved at the top of the homepage and then choose the Become an Ambassador option. Join today, and thanks.
Well, speaking of far-flung places, way out there sticking out into the Atlantic is a place called Cape Cod. And I believe that Mike O'Connor is down there. In fact, I'm pretty sure about it right now in our Let's Ask Mike segment from the Birdwatchers General Store in Orleans, Cape Cod. Good morning, Mike.
We're all celebrating the 800th show, Ray. Congratulations.
And you've been on, if I'm not mistaken, just about every one of them. So congratulations to you. I don't know how you could stand it, but thank you.
I think I've been on more.
Have you been? When we weren't here, you were still on. Okay.
Yeah, I got it. I was ahead of the game on that one.
I see how that works.
Well, it's metric.
Well, Ron Pettaway has gone away, but Terry Hoare has come to the fore, right, for our winter.
Look at you with your little foam. Yeah, Ron Pettaway. I'm sure a lot of your listeners aren't familiar with Ron Pettaway, although I do mention him every year at this time. Mm-hmm. He was a Canadian biologist who would give a finch forecast, which is great for birders or people who like me who sell bird seed. And he would talk about the northern finches, like pine or evening grosbeaks, or red poles or purple finches, and they'd say if there's going to be an invasion. A lot of times the birds leave Canada when things are tough, and they come down this way, and he always presented this with this information. But I heard he retired, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, could 2020 get any worse? And now the gentleman you mentioned, Tyler Horace, has stepped up to the plate, and he's giving also his version of the finch forecast, and it's good. It's good news for bird watchers and bird seed people that there's, in theory, an influx of certain birds, namely evening grosbeaks. Hopefully we'll see some purple finches. And this is a good thing to know if you know, people have a little trouble with purple finches and house finches. This is a good year to learn the difference, because if they come in, you want to know the difference. And you mentioned this a few weeks ago, red-breasted nuthatches. Yeah. As soon as you said that, the whole area where I am is just full of... I can't go outside without red-breasted nuthatches. They're everywhere right now.
Wow.
So that's a good thing.
And I'm just reading here, too. They're talking about individuals, red-breasted nuthatches, making it already as far as Oklahoma and Alabama.
Holy smokes.
So they're out there.
Wow, yeah. They're really coming down.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of feeders, you can put nuthatches on, they can go to any feeder. They're so agile little birds. But they like black oil sunflower seeds or any kind of sunflower seeds, and they like peanuts. Peanuts out of the shell. They're picking at mine right now as we speak. Purple finches, sunflower seeds again, and they're kind of a traditional feeder bird. So you'll, when you see them up close, you'll notice they're not house finches. Evening grosbeaks, that's the one everybody wants. The males are crazy bright yellow. They come in big flocks. They're noisy. They're very entertaining. But they're a little bit bigger bird, and they'd probably do better on a tray or a platform. A few years ago, I put out a tray because I thought they were coming, and I was doing the show, and they landed right on it, and I'm like, oh, here we go, and they never came back. I made so much noise, apparently. But they're moving around, and they'll look for food. So in my area, the food wasn't abundant that year, so they kept going to other places, and they spread throughout the lower 48. Mm-hmm. So definitely get your feeders out, pay attention, just don't stick them out there and just walk away, because there's going to be some different birds coming by. And listen for the red-breasted nuthatch call. They're out there today squabbling about something, and it sounded like an R2-D2 convention. They have this little squeaky mechanical electronic call. It was very entertaining.
All right, be careful out there, Mike.
Okay. Watch out for R2-D2.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, by the way, that Matt Young from Cornell Lab, who's been on the show with us several times, has started a new nonprofit to study and conserve finches. And he's doing that along with Tyler Hoare. So we've had Matt on the show before. We'll have him back on again to talk about that, and maybe Tyler too.
Oh, and Tyler too.
And you've been on about 850 times, so we'll have you back on again too very soon.
All right, talk to you next week.
Mike O'Connor down at the Birdwatchers General Store.
For over a quarter century, Birdwatching Magazine has been North America's premier magazine about wild birds and birding. Whether you enjoy birds in your backyard or far afield, you'll find information in every issue to help you find, track, identify, and understand birds. Regular contributors include Ken Kaufman, David Sibley, Pete Dunn, Laura Erickson, and other birding experts. Learn more at birdwatchingdaily.com.
Back here to the Mystery Bird Contest. What is this bird? It's from way up north. You can tell probably what group of birds this belongs to, but which one is it specifically? We have Caroline in Scituate, Massachusetts. Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning.
Good morning. What do you think our mystery bird is, Caroline?
It's the snowy white owl.
The snowy white owls. I'm doubly sorry because you sounded so sure about that.
Me too. But I'll keep listening.
All right. Keep listening and keep calling, Caroline. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. 781-837-4900. I have a feeling that at least a couple of other callers also thought that was maybe the snowy owl or the snowy white owl, if you think, or if you like. And what happened to those, Jesse? I guess they
all had similar guesses.
They had similar guesses. All right. Well, that opens our line if you want to sneak through before our time runs out. 781-837-4900. That's 781-837-4900 on our mystery bird contest. Just to complete those clues, this raptor's color in both male and female is not white. It's silver gray with white, brown, and gray streaking, and it shows two pale X-shaped arcs between its yellow eyes. Its hard to see bill is yellow, and its neck features a white bow tie effect. Our bird feeds on small mammals, especially rodents, by plunging through snow cover to capture its prey. 781-837-4900 is the number to call, and I think we have
Tracy in Norwell.
Thank you, Jesse. Tracy in Norwell, Massachusetts. Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning.
Good morning. I guess you heard, at least one guess, and then a couple of other folks who were going to apparently guess the same thing. What do you say?
The great gray owl.
You've got the correct color and the correct bird. The great gray owl. Nice job. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And stay on the line. We'll work things out there. Thank you. We are out of time for our show today. Thank you so much for listening. Please stay safe, and we'll see you next week.
Talking Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store. Orleans, Cape Cod. birdwatchersgeneralstore.com.
And proudly sponsored by Ocean State Bird Club, a Rhode Island-based club of passionate birders like you. Become a member and check out the fall edition of our newsletter. We've tripled the number of writers, and the issue is chock full of good reading. Find us on Facebook and at oceanstatebirdclub.org.